It's time for our favorite segment here on Local Edge Radio, at least on a Monday, that is. And that's the Voice of Beer with our good friend Opus from the Thirsty Monk.
Thank you. You could say it's your favorite all week if you feel like.
You know, it's starting to be Opus. And I want to say hello to loyal listener Ted out there. I know Ted is driving home to Burnsville right now from working somewhere in the South Asheville area, but he pulled up at one of our remotes and he says, I love that beer segment with Opus. He said, you know, I live in Burnsville, so I just get to listen to you guys tasting beer. But one of these days, he said he might stay in town and maybe come by the Thirsty Monk.
Please do it. I appreciate the responsibility, too.
Yeah, absolutely. We hear that more and more. Hey, I'm all about a designated driver when we all go out as friends so everybody can have a good time and relax. And, you know, Opus, I'm glad we're talking about that because before we went live, we were talking about planning our first pint night coming up, 880 The Revolution, Local Edge Radio, and The Thirsty Monk. And it's going to be sometime in mid-April. We're talking about a date. So
let's shoot for that.
Yeah, we're going to pass that on to our listeners. And if you weren't listening last week or the week before, the pint glasses are really good looking that Opus got printed up for. So we appreciate that. And we're looking forward to being a part of it. Well, it looks like you brought four or five beers in the studio with you today.
I've got way too many beers to even taste today.
Really?
I mean, we could try.
This is very exciting.
But I brought a plethora of a brand new brewery to Asheville.
Oh, good, good. Now, where is this brewery from?
This is a brewery. They're from Portland, Maine.
Okay.
And they're one of the very few fully organic breweries in North America, actually in the world.
Now, how does a brewery become fully organic?
Well, you've got to obviously register with all the organic companies.
The Organic Beer Committee.
Well, the USDA organic.
Right.
And you've got to comply
so
to all
standards
their standards.
There. Okay.
There's lots of standards in place. But a lot of organic breweries take it the extra step, and they don't just use all organic non-pesticide ingredients. They actually try to incorporate a lot of green measures in their brewing by recycling their old hops and a lot of the waste that they come out with, because breweries really, like, they produce a lot more waste than they do beer. Like, for every drop of beer, there's probably, you know, a bucket of waste that comes out. So a lot of these breweries, like Peak Organic, are really working so that they're recycling all this energy and all these resources.
And I guess they can safely dispose of that waste. It's organic, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Absolutely. It's not – we're not talking radioactive waste.
Yeah. Jim was thinking hazmat suit over there.
Well, I'm concerned.
I saw this nuclear information stuff. But this is just like extra water that you can't really recycle into the sewage system, mm-hmm. and used grains, spent grains, which farm animals can eat.
I'm surprised we hadn't seen an organic brewery – pop up around here.
Well, we do have we don't have a fully organic brewery, but we do have a Pisca in Black Mountain, and they have several organic brews.
They're organic pale ale.
Exactly.
It says it on the bottle. That's right.
But they're not a fully organic brewery just yet. They're working on it.
But how can it be an organic pale ale if it's not coming out of a fully organic brewery, Opus?
Because the ingredients that they're using are all organic for that.
Okay. Let's not try to trick our listeners out there, okay?
Organic really is very tricky in the first place. As well as, I'm sure you know, it's all about filling out the right forms and making sure that you're complying with the right standards. But the standard companies are, you know, their own little devil to deal with.
So how did you hear about this brewery? Did they send you some samples and
this is brought in by one of our distributors, Next Generation, which is a very small distributor in Asheville only.
That's their name, Next Generation?
Next Generation.
Oh.
And they really want to deal with is just craft beer. So they're very small and very specialized, but we're very lucky to have them in Asheville. So they've been working very hard to find these super breweries around North America and the world, and they're bringing them into Asheville because It is Beer City. So you got to bring them here.
Absolutely. So what are we going to taste first?
Well, let's crack open the big one. Let's big crack one. Open. They have the standard line is they have like a pale and an IPA and a pomegranate wheat and a nut brown. I brought in the pale, the IPA, this really cool, which I've yet to try. Looking forward to. It's an espresso amber ale.
Really?
But this one that we're cracking open is the King Crimson. It's an imperial red ale. So this is going to be malty, like a red ale, kind of like which is like a almost like a watered down Scotch.
Mm-hmm.
But then aggressively hopped. So it's going to be malty and hoppy at the same time.
I don't know how it will go with Jim's Pop-Tart. He's eating a Pop-Tart. I don't know if it will mix well.
I am not.
Here's a King Crimson for you.
King Crimson. Which great is band.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I haven't listened to them in quite a long time, but I know they could, like the beer, they can reach all these crazy, amazing notes.
Is that King Crimson? Look at Jim over there.
Wow.
Huh? Little King Crimson in the background.
Woofa.
Oh, I like that.
Wow.
I like that.
Wow.
Very smooth.
This is my first time tasting it, too. So I'm not,
really?
Just very, very good first
impression.
You
tasted everything, Opus, so okay, no, we'll taste this together.
I've tasted their pale and IPA, but this King Crimson is I was looking forward to this, and it definitely is not disappointing. It's
mm-hmm.
If we can look at the color.
Yeah, let's do.
It's like this nice ruby red going on.
And I guess when I first tasted it, I thought it was going to be a lot heavier, but it's kind of light. I mean, in the sense that it's not too much.
It's an imperial red ale. It's a red ale, so it's still going to kind of remain on, you know, not as dark as like a porter or a stout or anything or a scotch.
Mm-hmm.
Red ales are just lightly red malted and lightly hopped. But this actually packs a bit of a wallop. This is one of their 9% stronger beers that they put out.
Thank goodness for that, Jim. Thank you. Did you bring the motorcycle today, Jim?
I did not.
Okay. Mm. Thank goodness for that.
No,
I hope you were going to have to take Jim home.
Well, I'd come on my motorcycle, but
I don't know if his motorcycle. Right.
That's right. I forgot about that.
The two of us on a motorcycle after a few beers is a good idea.
I think not,
especially those 9%ers. So see, Opus, when we did the little test when we were younger, the 12 ounces of beer, the 1 ounce of liquor, it doesn't really make any sense anymore.
No, not at all.
Because they were talking about 12 ounces of Milwaukee's Best Light.
Something
in the 2% range.
Equally disgusting. Mm-hmm.
Something low there, but no, this is a little bit different.
The beer drinking world has changed when it
comes
to...
Well, this is like a wine. Well, I mean, as far as where the alcohol is, as far as 9%, 12%.
Well, wine's usually between like 10 and like 15, 16%. Mm-hmm. So wine's generally higher. But again, with wine... depending on where you go, your serving size is like, you know, just 6 ounces, 6-8 ounces.
Yeah.
Whereas a beer, depending on when you go, is 16 to mm-hmm. ounces
Jim
or
had some wine
more or less.
The other night, you said you hit a couple wine bars.
Certainly did. And 7 ounces on a good pour.
Mm-hmm.
That's a healthy pour.
I was going to say, yeah, because normally it's not, I'm 5 to 6s.
Yeah, you're just getting like the little bottom of a giant globe for the
right.
most part.
Jim's the only man I know that ends the night with Thunderbird as a nightcap.
I beg your pardon.
Always makes you wake up so early the next morning.
Doesn't it, though?
The Thunderbird.
And you feel it all over again.
Well, Opus, I have to say, this is one of my favorites in a while. I mean, everything you brought in has been great, this is a very smooth beer, and I could see myself drinking a lot of this.
I'm
falling asleep.
Yeah, I could see if you're drinking more than one or two, you're going to have some trouble. Especially if we were serving up in pint glasses,
okay.
Which we are this Wednesday.
Remember, if any law enforcement are listening out there, I drive a Porsche. It's red with blue wheels. Well, I have to tell you that the more and more beers you introduce us to, I realize just how many young people and creative people there are out there, you know, just creating breweries every single day. and coming out with great beers.
Well, there's
it's like it's viral.
There's lots of breweries created every day. Not necessarily all of them are great.
So there's some stinkers out there.
There's a lot of stinkers out there. But fortunately, I just bring in the great ones.
Well, Opus, have you ever had a rep come in and say, Opus, I need you to taste this, and you taste it and thought yourself, this is horrible?
Well, yeah. I've definitely had beers like that.
Have you sugarcoated, or just tell them straight out, this tastes like dishwater?
I will usually not tell them that. I'll usually say, what else you got?
What else you got in there?
That's
in the briefcase.
But for the most part, our reps know us, and they stick to really good beers. The wonderful thing about this Peak Beers is that it wasn't until very recently that organic beers actually tasted organic beers kind of had their own taste.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could kind of tell that you were using organic ingredients.
How so? I mean, you just tasted more of...
They were I wouldn't say cleaner. They tasted cleaner. They didn't taste like regular beer. But a lot of farms now are going organic. So it's blending in more so that you could taste a beer and say, oh, that's organic. I had no idea. Whereas oddly enough, it was really weird, but organic beers, you could very distinctly notice that they were organic.
That could be their commercial, Opus. You might have just landed on there, kind of like, I can't believe it's butter. It's like, that's organic. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it's organic.
Which, in the most part, like when you're dealing with vegetables and fruits and all that, ideally organic means more flavor, more taste. But in the beer world, it kind of was holding it against it.
Does it mean more money? Are they going to be more expensive, these beers?
Well, some of them are a bit pricey, but some of them are just reasonable, like the normal price for craft beers.
Because Jim and I can barely take any more with the rise in gas prices.
Oh, I know.
It's too much.
Got to watch it.
There's nothing cheap out there, Jim.
No, there isn't.
I mean, the best thing we got going is this free beer segment on Mondays with
Opus. This is my week right here.
When he brings in beer.
This is the whole week.
Yeah, this is it.
Well, we expect, I would say expect some beer increase prices for this year.
Oh, the gas prices, and now Opus is spreading the bad news.
Delivery
issues. Hop shortage. There's a very severe hop shortage this year. And it'll probably make its way back to the consumer. There was a hop shortage, and really it applies to people who haven't had contracts with hop growers. So like new breweries basically popping up or kind of get shafted when it comes to buying hops this year. Mm. But existing breweries, they're going to feel like little pennies along the way. So I think those pennies are going to make their way down to the consumer.
Well, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to taste some more great beer.
Ted is listening.
Oh, Ted is listening. Good. Ted, we appreciate it. I wanted to say hello to you from when I met you a couple of weeks ago. We appreciate your support, and have a safe trip back to Burnsville.
Maybe try safe, Ted.
Yeah, Ted will join us one day for Pint Night.
Sure.
I can feel it. It's Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie and Jim and Opus here on 880 The Revolution, Asheville's Progressive Talk.
Say, but I just can't make you sound.
This is Local Edge Radio.
Welcome back to Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie here on 880 The Revolution, Asheville's Progressive Talk. I am flying solo today. Leslie is down in New Orleans enjoying Mardi Gras with her family. I know they're having a good time. She said the girls are having a good time. And, of course, that's where she and her husband are from, that area. And we're spending some time with Opus for the voice of beer. Opus is the man at the Thirsty Monk and once again has brought in a plethora of beers. I haven't used that word in a long time, plethora.
Well, it's not often I bring in a plethora.
Yeah, that's right. But I do like it, and I will start using it more. But the first one we tasted was great, a organic beer from Peak Organic Brewing Company out in Portland called King Crimson. It was an Imperial Red Ale. Really like that taste. And you poured us a new one, Opus, and I just tasted it, and I thought it tasted like a Frito.
It's definitely very grainy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see like some corn going on here.
Taste it, Jim. Jim's going to say it tastes like a Sun Chip, but I say a Frito.
This is the their pale ale, the organic pale ale.
It's corny. Do you taste the corn? Is that just me?
No, I could definitely taste
grainy,
some kind of corn grain. I would probably go for the wheat, a little more wheat than corn. Because I'm pretty sure there's no corn in here, but if it is, it's organic.
Opus, you said sometimes they just throw all sorts of things in the batch.
That's true. Pale ales, you shouldn't be throwing corn in, but.
Well, now, what's this one called?
This is the Peak Pale Ale.
The Peak Organic Pale Ale. Hmm.
And it's a nice amber color for a pale.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely is grainy. I'll throw that on out there.
Yeah. And this is one of these beers that I would have one.
One of?
Yeah, one. Now, the King Crimson, maybe a different story.
That's a hell of a beer right there, actually. Yeah.
So, well, interesting taste on this one. Jim, what'd you think?
I thought I sensed the waves of grain.
The waves of grain.
I'm getting the waves of grain.
So,
yeah.
Little Sun Chip for you, actually.
That was the bouquet, like we said last week. I got that.
You and that bouquet. Ever since you learned the word bouquet,
I'm
Jim,
using
you're
it.
Throwing it in every time.
That's the bouquet.
That's the bouquet. Yeah. Okay. And we have Jeff from Chi Running in here, came in early to taste some beer. So he's over there in the corner enjoying the King Crimson Imperial Red Ale. Wonder at what point do I really get sanctioned for running a bar here in the tiny progressive studio? Get like 20, 25 people here.
I think after four beers and a few people, yeah. This is a little unofficial bar going on.
Yeah. Well, I like it, and I always respect Jim's opinion, too. I'm glad we've worked Jim into the mix.
I mean, he's been drinking
for over 110 years, so, I mean, he's an expert at this point.
Thank you.
I'm just kidding,
it's been a
Jim.
Long time.
Okay, Opus. You know.
So we got a choice now. We got the IPA and the Espresso Amber.
Well, let's try the Espresso Amber just because we can all say I've never tried that before until today.
Absolutely. And this is actually, oddly enough, it's a very famous coffee company. Coffee by Design. They're famous in the coffee world, let's just say that. They've won a bunch of latte art competitions and roasting competitions. So this is the roastery and the brewery are both nothing to... Nothing to laugh at.
Now, Opus, I was joking about in the morning, but it's really true. You've been to Europe and traveled around a lot of countries. People start drinking in Europe pretty early. Beer, like 10:30.
During the day, you mean?
Oh, yeah. Or even earlier. So, especially if a soccer match is on. It can start about 7:30 in the morning. So,
well, the one thing I noticed in other countries... And I mostly focus around Belgium and Europe, the UK, and all that. They make up for their drinking in many ways. Like for instance, the Belgians, like they're pretty much drinking all day, but they're drinking these very high percentage beers, high alcohol
beers.
And they bicycle everywhere. Like everyone looks like Jeff here, but
everyone looks. All right, let me get this straight.
But they're smaller.
They all look like Jeff. They're smaller. They drink all day. They work they ride bikes everywhere.
This is a very vague stereotype.
Okay,
but. For the most part, I found that Belgians, like, they walked in and bicycled a lot to make up for it.
So, obviously, there's no DUI on the bike law over there. Because, obviously, they're riding around drunk on the bikes.
Oh, yeah. That'd be ridiculous. I mean, that's what a bike's for, right?
I think so. Okay, here we go with the espresso beer.
Yeah.
They smell and taste coffee right off the bat.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like a coffee liqueur.
Mm-hmm.
So the espresso after dinner, great
espresso amber ale. Yeah, this I could see doing this in the morning too. It was a good morning beer. get your day off running right.
Sorry, kids. This is interesting.
Wow, I can't not taste the coffee in this.
Mm-hmm. It almost, when I smell it, it almost smells like one of these chocolate drinks I've had too, like a chocolate martini or something like that. One of these fancier kind of, you know, drinks that they put a little chocolate liqueur in. Yeah. It just has that smell.
What
of that.
Is Kahlua the
that's one.
Chocolate liqueur?
Tia Maria is the other one.
Okay.
Yeah, and then not Godiva, but Ghirardelli has a chocolate that they're adding to make a chocolate martini.
Well, this amazingly, they just have roasted coffee beans and all the ingredients of beer. Like, there's nothing else thrown in here.
Well, this is one of the more, I think, expressive, if that's a is yeah, that's a
that's
good
a
word,
good
you know, because it's a little bit of everything. You got the dark chocolate, you got the coffee,
a lot of taste.
Every time you taste it, you taste a little something different, and a little wood burning in the back,
a little roasty toastiness.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
I could taste a little light chocolate taste to it too, which is amazing because it's such a. I wouldn't say light colored, but for it's an amber ale, so it's like, you know, copper colored. So you'd expect a lot darker color for a beer that tastes like this.
Now, do you sell this by the bottle, or do you have this in kegs down there?
Well, the espresso amber ale, it's actually we don't have it on draft, so this is only available in bottle, and it's only available in very select places.
So when you put, if you bring three or four of Peak's brands in, do you just kind of put them out there for a month, couple of months, see which one moves the best?
Well, at the Thirsty Monk, we are very select about the beers that we put on. We usually deal with just seasonal beers and one-offs, and like it has to be super special, even if it's just a new brewery. Like, we'll put it on the IPA and the pale, and then the King Crimson, and then the seasonals is usually kind of what we're forced to put on, because people expect all these one-offs and these unique beers.
Are you guys beer snobs, Opus?
Oh my God, yes. Yes. And we're turning Asheville into beer snobs. Oh yeah.
Snobbier by the minute.
Constantly have customers at the South Bar that come back from vacation, and they say, you know, I've been drinking here at the Thirsty Monk South for just a few months now, or a year now, or whatnot. And every time I go on vacation, like, I can't drink beer because their taste buds just become completely spoiled from all this amazing stuff that we have on.
Well, that's a nice nod to you, and I agree. You've opened up my eyes to so many different types of beers, and using just a mashup of flavors. That's what has really surprised me so much, how much, you know, different things they're using in beer and just throwing them into that batch, whether it's cherries or chocolate or, you know, just the list goes on and on. Jalapenos.
And it's the coolest part I always find is when you can do all those flavors without adding the extra ingredients, mm-hmm. like that King Crimson that we started off with. That had, like, you know, some toffee, some caramel. But there's no toffee or no caramel. It's just all malt and grains that you mm-hmm. they do these. You can work magic with.
Mm-hmm. Well, Opus, is there another beer to taste? Or
we got an IPA.
We got an IPA.
We got the organic IPA.
Well, what we'll do is what we might do is bring Jeff on
sure.
and make fun of me with my chi running, and you can hang around, and then we'll go ahead and go to a quick break, and then maybe taste the IPO as we morph into chi running. Does that sound good? All right, folks, it's Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie here on 880 The Revolution, Asheville's Progressive Talk.
Hey, it's Bill Press, and you're listening to Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie right here on 880 AM The Revolution, Asheville's Progressive Talk.
Folks, welcome back to Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie here on 880 The Revolution, Asheville's Progressive Talk. We are wrapping up our Voice of Beer segment with Opus from the Thirsty Monk. Opus brought in four or five beers today, so we were finally tasting our last beer. We had to revive Jim with smelling salts, but he is back at the board after tasting all these great beers. And from Peak Organic, or an organic brewery in Portland, and, you know, we were saying earlier, Opus, how you guys are kind of beer snobs, but in a good way, because you've really exposed a lot of locals to beers they probably otherwise wouldn't have tasted unless you guys would have taken a chance and brought them into our market.
Oh, absolutely. We find stuff that it's amazing that these are actually beers, but we find beers from around the world that are the weirdest, coolest, most delicious beers. I'm just going to, for instance, on Wednesday or Thursday, we've got this beer. It's one of the gypsy brewers that I talked about last week, McKellar, called Beer Geek Weasel. And it's also a coffee-related beer. There are these weasels, weasel-like animals that eat these berries, digest them, excrete them, and then people pick up the wasted berries and they brewed a beer with it called Beer Geek Weasel.
Really?
Absolutely. I had one down in Atlanta.
Who's the guy that has the job of picking up the berries that recently have been shot out the other end?
I'd like to say that there are little monkeys that do it, but I'm pretty sure it's people.
Wow.
And
did they tell the story of this beer on the label there?
Oh, absolutely.
By the way, the ingredients
absolutely
came from...
Yeah, they're called civet cats, but they're these weasel-like animals. We're going to have a keg of that. I mean,
people are going to be beating down the door for that, Opus.
You know, it's called Beer Geek Weasel, so all the beer geeks will actually be beating down a door to taste this weasel poop beer.
So, I remember the name.
Yes, you will. Never forget it. So we're tasting the IPA right now.
This is the Peak Organic IPA. And the sign of a good IPA is you sniff it and you smell that wonderful hop aroma, which can be distinguished, from other sticky resinous plants.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Doesn't stand out really, but still smooth.
It's hard to I started this segment with the complicated one, the really flavorful, the King Crimson. I think I did that because usually beers like that you need to taste and savor and sip for a while to appreciate. But I think I did it completely wrong. I think we started with the fantastic King Crimson, and everything is just kind of tasting pretty okay from there.
Well, Opus, I appreciate you bringing in such a variety of beer. And don't forget, folks, monkpub.com is the place you need to visit online to find out what's going on at the Thirsty Monk. And Pint Night every Wednesday, a big night for the locals, especially out there in South Asheville at Gerber Village at their South Asheville location. And we're planning our 880 The Revolution Pint Night. We'll be up.